This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
What percentage of those ahadith are actually traditions or narrations that were recorded by the Sahaba and the Salafus Salihin that are part of the khutbah of Rasulullah, i.e. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave a khutbah and the Sahabas memorized the khutbah. And once they memorized it, they passed it on to the person next. And to the next narrator. And to the next narrator. And the next narrator. Until you and I got the hadith. What percentage? How many, in a different way to ask the question, how many hadith do we have that are in their entirety talking about the khutbah that Rasulullah got up and he gave? To your surprise, what you're going to find is that there are going to be no more than 100 out of the 70 or 80,000 hadith collection we have. And those 100, not all of them are khutbahs of Jum'ah. Those are khutbahs of hajah, necessity. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got up once, he saw a group of people that came, they were in need of food, they came, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he got up and he said, تَصَدَّقُوا وَلَوْ بِشِقِّ تَمْرَى. Donate and give even if it is a part of a date. In another narration it is mentioned that a group of people came and they were from, you know, لَقَدْ اِجْتَابُ النِّمَارِ. That they were wearing clothes, that one-piece cloth, like Tarzan. They did not have clothes to cover themselves. That one piece of cloth was their top covering as well as the undergarment, and they had wrapped it between their legs. لَقَدْ اِجْتَابُ النِّمَارِ فَقَامَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فَخَطَبَ خُطْبَةً. He got up and he gave a khutbah. Then you have the khutbah, one khutbah in its entirety, which is khutbatul wida. The last khutbah he gave in Hajjatul Wada. Other than that, you're not going to find many khutbahs. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you were to say that, you know, the legislation of khutbah started when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in Medina, if you were to say that he was in Medina and we count those 10 years, 10 times 50, right? We should have 500 khutbahs. But we don't have 500 khutbahs. And there's a reason for that. Because most of Rasulullah's khutbahs used to be something. I'll start it off with a story that has been mentioned. And this is a really powerful story. And this talks about one particular element, which is that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, this is mentioned by one of the sahabiyya. She mentions the story. She says, her name was Hisham bint Haritha, bint Nu'man, bin Nu'man radiallahu anha. She used to say, وَهِيَ تَخْبَزُ. She was a woman that used to be a baker, i.e. she was known to make roti, khubz. She was known to make bread, or pita bread. تَخْبَزُ أَيَّامَهَا فِي زَمَنِ النُّبُوَّةِ. She was known to be a person that used to make roti or pita bread or khubz during the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And she says, لَقَدْ كَانَ. Indeed, the situation was as such that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's tandoor, or tannur in Arabic, and our tandoor or our tannur was one. I.e., Rasulullah's family would cook in that, and I would cook in that. Subhanallah. So she says, كَانَ تَنُّورُنَا وَتَنُّورُهُ وَاحِدٌ. So first, she's appreciative of the fact that back in the day, they did not have tannur inside the house. The houses were very small. So they had a local, like, you know how you have a local grocery market or local gas station, localities, or if you've been to like Islamabad, for example, you have Markaz, you have like that center, G8, F8, and then everybody goes around and that's the main market. Over there, they used to live together and they had one place. So this woman's tandoor or tannur, this woman's tannur was the same area where Rasulullah would also bring and they would cook food. She says, فَيَذْكُرُ So she's telling this to somebody after the death of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَيَذْكُرُ أَنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ She remembers that Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam كَانَ يُرَدِّدُهَا He used to repeat Surat Al-Qaf, Surat Qaf, Surat Qaf. He used to repeat that. كَانَتْ يُرَدِّدُهَا وَكَانَ يَقْرَأُهَا And he used to recite this surah في كل جمعة Most of the Jum'ahs, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would get up and he would recite Surat Qaf. He would just get up and all he would do is recite Surat Qaf. That's enough of a reminder for the community. Go back to your work. And that was most of his khutbahs. And that's the reason from those 500 khutbahs, we hardly have 20 khutbahs. Because the rest of them were all based on one surah. They're all based on one surah. It is also mentioned in another hadith, Imam Ahmad, he says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he gave us an example of this Quran in comparison to the books that had come before. And he sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, and the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam qal, U'titu, I have been given, makan at-Tawrah, in the place of Torah, the Torah that they have, the Jews, in place of that, I have been given As-Sab'a al-Tiwal, the seven long surahs. Sab'a al-Tiwal, the seven long surahs. From Surah Al-Baqarah, count seven. All these seven surahs. They are in equivalent to the entire Torah. The message and everything that is here. That's why you find a lot of mention of Bani Israel in it. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he says, وَمَكَانَ الزَّبُورِ And instead of Zabur, I have been given al-mi'ain aw al-mi'un. After these seven are the next set of categories of surahs. And these set of categories of surahs are surahs that are all of them or almost most of them, they cross 100 ayahs. So their entirety, if you were to count the number of ayahs, they are surahs of 100 verses or more. So instead of Zabur, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given that. وَأُعْطِيت مَكَانَ الْإِنْجِيلِ الْمَثَانِي And instead of Injil or in replacement of Injil, I have been given al-Mathani. Al-Mathani are those surahs that come after the second category, which is al-Mi'ain. And because they are second to the surahs of 100 verses, they are called the second. Al-Mathani. These are the second all the way. And then he says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَفُضِّلْت And this is a special mercy of Allah. This is the fadl of Allah on this ummah and on Nabi Muhammad. وَفُضِّلْتُ That I have been given extra as a bonus. This has been a special mercy of Allah upon me. وَفُضِّلْتُ بِالْمُفَصَّلِ And I have been given al-mufassal. Mufassal from tafsil. فَصَّلَ يُفَصِّلُ i.e. the ones that are absolutely clear. And these, the ulama have two authentic aqwal in this. The ulama, they have two authentic aqwal in this. The first one is this is referring to Surat Al-Qaf. Surat Qaf. The second is from Surat Qaf all the way to Min Al-Jinnati Wal-Nas. This entire portion is something that no other ummah has ever received a similar message to. And that is why what you find in Mufassal is not found in even in Torah, the details of Qiyamah. It's not found in Injil because it is given to just us. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also has mentioned that Quran in general has benefits. Right? فيه شفاء للناس بركة. So many ayahs talk about the benefit of the Quran. Some benefits the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has explicitly told us. They were wahi to us. And there are other benefits that over the period of experimentation, because Quran, the entirety of Quran is shifa, then through the process of experimentation of different traditions, different cultures, people have figured out certain things that if you read this particular verse, then it alleviates this type of pain. And hence the entire ruqya industry. Right? There's an entire like ruqya. I have a certain ruqya that has been passed down by my generations. This ruqya works, and it works because Allah has said that there is shifa in the Quran. We're just figuring out the nature of that shifa. I'll give you an example of that. My teacher in their village, whenever the child cries and they have colic pain, they're crying out of the gas and the pain, they recite li'ila fi Quraysh, that surah. Put the hand on the belly of the baby and recite that surah, and the pain of the baby dissipates. Alhamdulillah, I had in every child that we had when we learned that, we practiced it and it worked. And my wife and I, we told so many other people and it works. We don't have hadith for it, but this is something called mujarrab. This is something called tajruba. I.e. through the practice of somebody who's doing ruqya, they're trying to take out, for example, the jinn or something. They say, oh, this verse has a reaction. So they make a note of that. Then multiple people collectively, they come through that. Now, there's also extremes in this, and I want to warn people. People go from this allowance and they go to extremes where they turn the entire Quran into numbers, and you have ta'weez that people hang. That is not part of our deen at all. Any of that khuza'balat and things that people are accustomed to, and you all know what I'm talking about, whether if you're from Egypt or India or Pakistan, from any Muslim countries, we all have that, right? If you come and take this and dip this in the water and then hang it in your neck every morning, and inshallah, nothing is going to happen to you. These, we take shifa from the Quran as is, not through a wasila, i.e. not through some intermediary device that has been connected or put onto our bodies for that. Now, some of the fada'il that the ulama, if this is something that I collected that is found in our books, these are things that have been mentioned by people, the scholars of the past. These are books that have been passed down. They have documented that when they held on to the surah and they recited Surah Qaf, these are some of the things that were witnessed. Number one, if a person has a garden and that garden is suffering, if Surah Al-Qaf is recited next to the garden abundantly, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes, people have found that the garden produces lots of fruit and barakah. Some of the other things that has mentioned, that a person when he is dying, Surah Yasin, and if you recite Surah Qaf, then it alleviates the pain of person dying. Then another thing that has been mentioned, that if a person, he is afraid of paying off his debt, recitation of Surah Qaf will alleviate the khawf that the person has, the fear has with the surah. Then, if a person has a severe, dire need, recitation of Surah Qaf alleviates that need and provides some form of respite and ease for you. Then, if a person has a tawattur, anxiety, recitation of Surah Qaf and some form of gham or hum, any type of depression, anxiety. I'm not saying that do not take mental health precautions. I 100% believe that we do as a community don't do a justice to that. Mental health is something and we need to talk about it, right? And that's not the point of the khutbah. But so we need to augment it with some spiritual connections, inshallah. So again, the list goes on. So today's khutbah is going to be based on Surah Qaf. Surah Qaf has been revealed. One second. My iPad just decided to. Surah Qaf has been revealed in Makkah. The surah was revealed in Makkah in the early times. It is mentioned it's the 50th surah to be revealed on Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, amongst many other surahs that have been revealed. And the other thing about Surah Qaf, that the ulama have mentioned is something really interesting. It starts off with something which is huruf al-muqatta'at. Today, hopefully we have enough time to even just talk about huruf al-muqatta'at, the broken letters. The entire Qur'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed the Qur'an, and the entirety of the Qur'an is ala waznil wasl. I.e. we recite the Qur'an with connection. Those ayat that you and I see, those ayat, if you were to keep reciting and not stop at the ayat, the meaning will not change. So if a person recites قُلْ أَوْذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ مَلِكِ النَّاسِ إِلَهِ النَّاسِ مِنْ شَرِّ الْوَسْوَاسِ الْخَنَّاسِ الَّذِي يُوَسْوِسُ فِي صُدُورِ النَّاسِ مِنَ الْجِنَّةِ وَالنَّاسِ, I didn't stop. The meaning didn't change. Why? Because it is in wasl. Now if a person in the recitation of the salah, they reach to مِنَ الْجِنَّةِ وَالنَّاسِ, they cannot go back to قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٍ. In fiqh, they have to go back to Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. They have to start back because Quran ended over there. So this is one of the biggest dalils that the ulama they say that Quran nazala ala shaklil wasl. It's connected. All of the huruf al muqatta'at, every single broken word that you have, those muqatta'at huruf, they were revealed with waqf. So you have to stop. You can't say, the only time you're going to have to stop is if you say, وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ آمِينَ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ آمِينَ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ. If you say, نِرْرَحِيمِ أَلِفْ لَامْ أَلِفْ, you're going to have to stop. You can't say, أَلَمْ أَلِفْ لَامْ مِيمْ. You can't say, أَلِفْ لَامْ مِيمٌ ذَلِكُلْ. You can't do that. You have to stop. You can't say qafin wal Qur'an al Majid. You cannot recite it like that. So the huruf al muqatta'at, they are at waqf. That's the first point. The second point about huruf al muqatta'at is that there are, this is not a tajweed class, but this is important for us to understand, that out of the 28 letters, there are sifat. There are attributes. That's all we need to know. Certain words are thick, certain words are thin, certain words are middle, rikhwa, shidda, lean, all of these things that you learn in tajweed. These are the sifatul huruf. Every single word that Allah has mentioned in huruful muqatta'at, out of the 28, we have 14 that have been mentioned in huruful muqatta'at. From these 14, Allah has given us in the 14 every single category of sifa in the Quran that exists. Allah has brought you a sample of that sifa in these 14. The next thing in Surah Al-Qaf that you're going to find is, this is also called the Surah of Qaf. It has lots of Qaf, the word, the harf Qaf mentioned. And if you were to look at that word Qaf, you're going to find that Qaf is going to be divisible by 19. Divisible by 19, which is the letters of Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Now the entire Quran, if you pick up the entire Quran, it mentions, remember Lut, Qawma Lut, Qawma Lut. But only in this particular surah, Ikhwanu Lut. Allah has mentioned Ikhwanul Lut. Whereas all other Anbiya have been mentioned with the word Qawm. And the reason for that is because if Allah had mentioned the word Qawmul Lut, then the balance of the 19 divisible by Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim would not be completed. And likewise, the entire Quran with its relationship to the Huruf al Muqatta'at is a bahar. It's a knowledge that we're still unpacking, we do not know. The third thing that we need to know is that if you were to get four carpenters and you were to bring them a piece of wood, and for one carpenter you give them oak, another one you give them birch, and another one you give them post oak, and the third one you give them teak wood, and you tell them that we want you to come up with some form of a beautiful architecture or design, they're going to tell you this is not fair. Because we want to have the same raw materials to be able to produce the right thing. The one who has oak wood is going to take a long more time than somebody with birch, a much softer wood. So it's not fair for me to be compared with someone who has different raw materials, yet you can compare my skill set if the raw materials is the same. Likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is not in any need of raw materials. For Allah to prove His superiority in eloquence, Allah is not even in need of any language. Because Allah is free of all needs. Hence, in every era, Allah revealed the Bible in Aramaic, the Torah in Hebrew, right? Allah is not in need of these languages. He can apply any language, which is a creation of Allah in the first place, but then when His kalam is revealed in it, it becomes the superior, ultimate superiority. Similarly, over here, Allah revealed the Quran with the raw materials of the same raw materials, i.e. the alphabets, figuratively speaking, that the Arabs used to boast themselves about. They used to come to Souq Uqaz and they used to boast about it. They would say, this is Shi'r Fulan, this is, and the highest poetry in terms of eloquence will be awarded, that it will be hung in Kaaba, such as the Sab' Mu'allaqat, the seven hanging scrolls that used to be there. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this Quran with the same raw materials that the Arabs used to boast about. Yet they could not match its eloquence. The fourth point, or the fifth point about this, and we'll end over here, is that everybody within the Arabs knew that Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kana ummiyan, he could not read and write. So a person who is unlettered, he can tell that this is a chair, this is a hat, this is a person, this is a mat, this is a carpet. They can tell you that this is a desk, this is a tablet or a cat, but they cannot tell you that cat is spelled C-A-T. Carpet is spelled C-A-R-P-E-T. They cannot break down the alphabets. And the biggest dalil for Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's truthfulness is the fact that the Quran was revealed, and in one portion of the Quran, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he recites Alif Lam Mim. And another portion he recites Alam tara kayfa fa'ala rabbuka bi ashabil fil. Alam, Alif Lam Mim, same letters. Over here, he is reading them as if he was unlettered. But over here, he is announcing every single one of them, which is the dalil of his truthfulness, because he did not know what Alif Lam Mim means. He doesn't have the ability to read and write. And lastly, in this entirety of the Quran, Allah has left certain portions of this Quran for you and I to figure out for the rest of eternity. And we will not be able to. Just like when you and I go to the doctor and the doctor gives us a prescription, we do not tell the doctor, you know what, I will take that prescription, but on one condition, if you explain to me every single ingredient you used in it. And the doctor is going to be like, well, you can go to the college or university for 7-8 years and come back to me, and then by that time, you're probably going to be dead with the sickness anyways. So we have the trust that this is from the doctor and the authority, and we take it even if we don't understand. Most of us do not understand how televisions work, but we all operate it. We all benefit from it. So there are parts of this Quran, and this is a message to the extreme liberals, liberal Muslims, like, oh, if it's such a great thing, why doesn't Allah tell us the meaning? Just the way you do not know how the microchips work in your computer and your phone, why doesn't Apple tell you that? They don't have to. You don't need to know for you to benefit. Similarly, all of these huruful muqatta'at are there for us to know that these are things that Allah knows, and I don't need to know to believe in Allah. I believe that this is from Allah, and I will benefit from the rest of the Quran. Inshallah, the next few series, we're going to go through the entire surah. Might take us 10, 12, maybe until winter, inshallah. But we'll finish the entire surah, and towards the culmination of it, towards the end of it, then inshallah we'll try to recite it in one of the khutbahs to revive the sunnah of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Barakallahu feekum wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khayri khalqi Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam tasliman kathira. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على نبينا والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. In the end, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send His choicest blessings on Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli wa sallim ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim tasliman kathira. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He truly gives us the understanding to be able to understand the message of the Quran. We ask that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens our hearts and removes the rust from our hearts to be able to recite and understand and connect with the Quran, with the true haqq of it. We ask that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us from Ahlul Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us from those people who are connected to the light and the nur of the Qur'an. And Allah allows us to be guided in our daily lives and daily decisions with the message and the light of this Qur'an. We ask that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us from the ummah and makes us from the people who are from those who revive the sunnah of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and connect us to his love, his message, and his way of life. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khayri khalqihi Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam wa aqimi salah inna salata tanha anil fahshai wal munkari wal baghi ya'idhukum la'allakum tadhakkarun.
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله